sir. How you feeling? Well, don't get excited or anything. He's here. That's all right. Listen, there may be a couple times. What I love about this one, when my deacons years ago built this pulpit, they put it on wheels. So that way, if there's any certain things that I'm preaching on that I feel like it needs to go to certain people, I mean, I can just wheel this wherever I want to wheel it to and preach to whoever I want to preach to and any and all that type of stuff. So if I go around this way, bye, Donna. Oh, you'll be back. All right. So again, remember, if there's any certain person that I need to preach to, I just roll this thing wherever I want to. It don't make any difference if I'm preaching on motorcycles or whatever I'm preaching on. You know, I can just go right, whatever. Ron, I may come toward you. I don't know. We'll see. I'm definitely coming toward Larry, that's for sure. But all right. Kenya, we're ready for our title page. What? And this is one fabulous series, in my opinion. I can walk here. What is my purpose? That's the big title of this series. Part 5, seeing life from God's view. Now that's interesting. How does God see our lives? Because he's got a certain particular viewpoint in his word. So how does God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit see your life? And from God's point of view, how does he see it? Let's take the journey. You ready? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. The way you are, or the way you see your life, shapes your life. All different ages here. We got some young ones, we got some old ones, and then we got some real old ones like Larry. But no matter what your age, you're living your life. Some of you have lived it for 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, 50 years, 80 years. Some of you have seen a lot of changes in the world. Some of you don't even know what a change is. But everybody here has a purpose, from the babies to the old ones. Keep that in mind. How you define life determines your destiny. Your perspective will influence how you invest your time. Spend your money. Use your talents. Value your relationships. How do you spend your time? Well, on a good Sunday, we'll have 60, 70, 80 people here. In the summertime, we average about 35 or 40. How do you spend your time? Hey, everybody deserves a vacation. I've been on a vacation. Take your vacations. I understand that. But nobody that I know of gets a 3-month vacation. Now, if you know an employer that gives you a 3-month vacation, I don't know who they are. Because I don't want to work for that person. Okay? So understand, folks, how do you value your time? Use your time wisely. Sunday mornings is a place for Christian people are to be. Now, obviously, if you're on vacation, you're 1,000 miles away from here. You can't be here. We all understand that. And hope you have a great time. You deserve it. But understand, I've never found anywhere in God's Word that says, take a year off. Take 2 years off. Take 5 years off. I don't think that's in there. How do you see your life? You will discover that there are many different answers to the questions as there are people. I've heard and been told this. Life is a circus, a minefield, a roller coaster, a puzzle, a symphony, get it right. A journey, a dance, a carousel. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, sometimes you just go around and around and around and around. You know, when you keep going in circles, you don't really get anywhere. You know that? Have you ever figured that out? Or a 10-spin bicycle with gears you've never used. Or like a game of cards. You have to play the hand you're dealt. Just all types of ways of describing life. And I don't know really where you see life, but let's see how God sees life. This might change your perspective. People often express their metaphors through clothes, jewelry, cars, hairstyles, bumper stickers, and even tattoos. If you think life is a party, your primary value in life will be having fun. If you see it as a race, you will value speed and will probably be in a hurry most of your life. If you view it a marathon, you will value endurance. If you see life as a battle or a game, winning is the most important thing to you. This is all about how you see life. How do you see life? And you might really understand the way you see life and the way God sees life may be totally different. Why? The Bible offers three metaphors to teach us God's view of life. Listen to this. Life is a test. Life is a trust. And life is temporary. That's how God sees life. Number one. We're going to look at the first two today. The third one next week. Life is one test after another. You believe that? Well, it sure is. This life metaphor is seen in stories throughout the Bible. God continually tests people's character. Now you know, if God tested biblical characters, oh, he's going to test us. God's continual test people's character, faith, obedience, love, integrity, and loyalty. Words like trials, temptations, refining, and testing occur more than 200 times in God's Word. God tested Abraham by asking him to offer his son Isaac. God tested Jacob when he had to work extra years to earn Rachel as his wife. Adam and Eve, you remember that couple, don't you? Failed their test in the Garden of Eden, and David failed his test from God on several occasions. The Bible also gives us many examples of people who passed a great test, such as Joseph, Ruth, Esther, Daniel. Character is both developed and revealed by test. And all of life is a test. You are always being tested. God constantly watches your response to people, problems, success, conflict, illness, disappointment, and I love this, even the weather. Sometimes the greatest test on Sunday is to see how many people would show up if you didn't have air conditioning. Maybe we got a foot of snow. Maybe we got 8 inches of rain. Weather. Do you believe God can throw weather sometimes to see if you'll stay home? Oh, he wouldn't do something like that, would he? Well, let's throw him a little heat. Let's see what they do. Or let's throw him a little snow. Let's see what they do. Understand, everything in life is a test.
And I mean that.
Listen to me closely. Everything in life is a test. Now, we had a couple of teenagers, including ISA, in our class today. And Joy, I love this generation. Bright people. But we talked about the difference of their generation today and the generation that us old people grew up in. But understand, we talk about when you're in school, you know, usually a teacher say, well, read chapter so-and-so, tomorrow we'll have a test. You ever have a teacher do that to you? Read chapter 12, tomorrow we'll have a test. Well, that really wouldn't do you any good to read chapter 11, would it? She said, read chapter 12, or he said, read chapter 12, you'll be tested on it. So if you read it, you got a good chance of what? Passing. And maybe even passing with a good grade. And when you pass with a good grade, all parents and grandparents are thrilled to death. But if you don't study, you've been given the warning, hey, we're going to have a test tomorrow in chapter 12. Now you don't study, then there's a good chance you're going to what? Fail. Thank you. That's right. You're going to fail. Now parents don't like that. Grandparents don't like that. Don't bring home no grades. My dad always said, you get an allowance as long as you earn it. Part of making the grade was earning it. When I got old enough to drive a car, he gave me the keys. He said, as long as you make good grades, you get to drive to school. You make bad grades, you're going to drive the school bus. You see how you like that? Because that's what school's all about. How do you measure how well you're doing unless there's a test? Same way in college, graduate school, anywhere else. Well, living your spiritual life the same way. God says, study your Bible. Pick up your Bible. Read your Bible. Because every day is going to be a test. And he says that in his word, life is a test. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Temptation and test, pretty similar. For when he is tried or tested, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised him to them that love him. Crown of life means you pass the test. In school, you get a grade. With Jesus, you get a crown one day. If you pass, if you study God's word, something else. When you're in school, if you don't show up for class, it's hard to pass. Now, when you get into college, as long as the parents are writing the checks, or as long as government's writing the checks, sometimes they don't really care. But if you don't go to class, you're not going to pass. It's pretty hard to pass all the tests that's in life that God allows if you're not in church.
Amen.
Or even if they had a reason, it probably was a bad reason. If you do it enough, you're going to start failing. And you're going to see it. I used the example in Sunday school this morning. A mistake is not a mistake unless you don't learn from it. If I make a mistake and I learn from it, I don't do it again, that's just part of life. But if I make a mistake, I don't learn from it, I make a mistake. I don't learn from it, I make a mistake. A mistake, a mistake, a mistake, a mistake. And every time I keep going downhill because I don't learn from it, it becomes, guys, what did I say? A tragedy. You make enough mistakes in life, it becomes a tragedy. You've got to learn. Life is not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. Because if I fail one test, it doesn't mean I may fail the whole course. I go back to study. I go back to class. I go back to reading my book. Next thing you know, I've turned it around. Now I'm passing. Now I'm moving forward. It's a shame to be in the first grade and be 12 years old. Nobody wants that. Now, maybe that's silly, but I mean, basically, I mean, in the world we live in, you don't go to the next level until you pass the test. And I don't care what school it is. I don't care if it's nursing school. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's vocational school. I don't care if it's college. They are not going to allow you to be a plumber or electrician or a nurse unless you pass school. Because people get killed and people die when you allow people in the workforce that cannot pass the test. Am I making sense? Same way in your spiritual life. God's not going to allow you to receive a crown of life. And he's not going to allow you to receive his promise if you can't pass the test down here. Don't be looking for a welcome home, thy good and faithful servant, because it's not going to happen. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. Good group today. Good group. All right. Now, this thing called trust. Everything about Jesus is about trust. You understand that? You cannot know Jesus on a personal level until you trust him, believe in him. Right? Makes sense. That's how you say, by believing in Jesus. And we have to do it by faith, because we were not there. We weren't there when he was born. We weren't there when he died. We weren't there when he arose from the grave. We weren't there when he spent 40 days here on the planet after he rose from the grave. And we was not here when he ascended. But the Bible says that's the way it is. And if we believe the Bible by faith, then we believe in Jesus. That's why it is by faith, because I didn't see it, yet I believe it. Trust. This is the second biblical metaphor of life. Our time on earth, our energy, intelligence, opportunities, relationships, and resources are all gifts from God that he has entrusted into our care and management. The concept of stewardship begins with the recognition that God is the owner of everything and everyone on earth. The Bible says in his word, the world and all that is in it belong to the Lord. The earth and all who lives on it are his. The first job God gave human beings, us, was to manage and take care of his stuff. God's stuff. The role has never been rescinded. God's word is as good today, or yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It is part of our purpose today. Everything we enjoy is to be treated as a trust that God has placed in our hands. The Bible says, what do you have that God hasn't given you? And if you have it from God, why boast as though you have accomplished something on your own? Wow. At the end of life on earth, you will be evaluated and rewarded according to how well you handle what God entrusted to you. That means everything you do, even simply daily chores or external implications. If you treat everything as a trust, God promises you three rewards in eternity. Listen to this. First, you will be given God's affirmation. Good job. Well done. Next, you will receive a promotion as to be given greater responsibilities in eternity. Let me tell you something. Believe this or not, as a Christian, death is a promotion. Now, it's not in the flesh. We don't look at it that way. But from a Christian standpoint of view, it's going to be a tremendous promotion. And understand this. The more you handle, or the more that God has entrusted you in this life and how you handle it, as is how much he's going to trust you in the next life. We'll talk more about that in a second. Most people fail to realize that money is both a test and a trust from God. And the reason money is used is because everybody can relate to it. Everybody here, from the smallest child to the 100-year-old, knows what money's all about. God uses finances to teach us to trust Him. And for many people, money is the greatest test of all. God watches how we use money to test how trustworthy we are. The Bible says, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, why would He trust you with heavenly wealth? It's very important to know the truth. God says there is a direct relationship on how I use my money and the quality of my spiritual life. How I manage. Everyone who has been given much, according to Jesus, much will be demanded. And from the one who has entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Life is a test and a trust. The more God gives you, the more responsibility He expects. There hasn't been any greater truth been said from this pulpit than that in years. Everything that you have belongs to God. And if you don't know that, you're messed up. You're mixed up. You really are. And I don't apologize for that, because believe me, I have lost some people over my 40 years of ministry because I bring up the subject. Whether it's, you call it money, or you call it tithing, or you call it whatever. I don't really know what to call it, other than the fact everything I got belongs to God. And I learned a long time ago, God gave me a formula for success. God gave it to me because it's in the Bible. And in that, we learn that when He entrusts us, what you have, He's entrusted you to it. If it's a job, He's entrusted you to it. Whether you make $5 an hour or $100 an hour, He's entrusted you to it. Okay? Your family, He's entrusted you to it. Your possessions, He's entrusted you to it. How you treat others, He's entrusted you on how to act. And the more you take that seriously, and the more you follow God's way, the more you do with what you have, the more He gives. And if it's not in this lifetime, listen to me closely, because there's a lot of people who think that just because I write a check, I should have everything in the world I want. Now, that's not what I said. And that's not what God's Word says. But I promise you this. If you heard that everything you have belongs to God, and you have been entrusted to that, from your checking account, your savings account, your possessions, your health, your family, everything has been entrusted to you. When you learn how to give that back, you might be surprised how much more He might entrust you. And I don't care whether you agree with me, disagree with me. At my age, you know, I got 40 years in the ministry. What are you going to say? You're going to hurt my feelings? I don't care whether you like it or you don't. Look, I can walk out of here whenever I want to. Y'all know that. But I stay here to tell you the truth, because it's the answer to life. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And the truth is this. Whether He's giving you a job that pays you $100 a week or $5,000 a week, it's because He's entrusted you with that. You deal with it. You do it the right way. You do it the biblical way. You give back what you're supposed to do. And I promise you, if it's not in this life, you see this crown of life? There's many crowns in heaven. Actually, there's 5 or 6 major crowns. I've preached on this many times. Believe me. If I don't have nothing but a debt on this planet to live in. If I don't even have a car and I have to walk, and if I have to live on the street, if it's what Jesus has given me, if I live it, I promise you one day I'm going to see riches that I'll never ever understand what it was like on this side of heaven. Because God is going to take care of the people who take care of Him. Period. Give the Lord a hand of God. Understand, how does God see life? Through trust? What He trusts you with? Through testing? See what you're made out of? What kind of character you've got? Believe me, nobody here perfect. Nobody's going to pass every test. But you learn. And the more you learn, the more better life you get. Study God's Word. Come to God's house. And pray daily. And you see the kind of quality of life God has for you. I promise you, that's the truth. Stand with me.